Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Ronaldo!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
You know, it's always great following the Blitz and A.J. Hoffman, because on the way out, Eric Warner from Carbach Brewing's here. So now we got a whole bunch of rodeo clown beer sitting on the table here. Yeah, Aaron shaking his head in there. Aaron Raybould in here tonight, producer extraordinaire. For producer extraordinaire, Andrew Carlson, who obviously has a big part of the show. Welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. So this is, man, this is fun. It's always a good surprise coming after AJ and Fred. And then Fred drops on the Blitz here a little while ago. He says, is this a Liverpool team that's historic? And, you know, if you want to go statistically, you realize that it's 40 straight games without a loss in the Premier League. Now, that's pretty mind-blowing. The record was set by Arsenal, the Invincibles. That great team with Dennis Bergkamp, Thierry Henry, Patrick Vieira. We can go on and on. Freddie Ljungberg, Arsene Wenger team. And think about if the Rockets won 40 straight games in the NBA. It is remarkable. So, to answer Fred's question, if they run the table this year and have more points than Manchester City, who set the Premier League record for points last year, it clearly will be historic. They are looking for their first title in 30 years. Last year, they won the Champions League title. But this monkey off their back winning the Premier League title will be a huge one. But again, a lot of games to go. And I'll tell you what, again, they pull it out late against Wolves. This team scores late goals. That tells me two things. Incredibly engaged, mentally strong in the latter moments of matches, physically fit. It's an absolute machine, Liverpool. What is also interesting about them to me is in a world of social media and multi-million dollar athletes, the leadership that Jurgen Klopp and the focus that he has gotten out of these players, this container and culture that they've created. I don't see them doing goofy stuff on Twitter and social media. I see a tremendous focus. I don't see that kind of stuff. Maybe I'm not looking for it, but I don't see it to the degree I see it with other teams and other sports. These are not guys that are trying to be celebrities through soccer. These are guys that are focused on setting records, so would not be surprised if it happens. But it's a fun team to watch. The 4-3-3 is remarkable. The emergence of Jordan Henderson in the six is remarkable. The free-flowing way this game is played by them, the pressing game at times, the ability to counterattack, to morph into different things, game changers in a number of different positions that simply can make a play on their own and win a game. All right. So, Fred, I don't know if that answers your question, but I hope it does a little bit. And Fred's been watching a lot of Premier League, so that's pretty cool when you hear Fred on the Blitz dropping the English Premier League in soccer. Soccer Matters, 713-780-3776. We're going to get some notes and news done here in the first segment. We are definitely going to, in the second segment, begin to talk Houston Dynamo. Got a little update from Matt Jordan. I do want your phone calls tonight at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. This show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So, got a couple of really cool things going on here tonight. I'm so excited for this show. Marco Marić, the new Dynamo goalkeeper, he'll be on the show. You're going to love the fact that you're going to hear a real European accent. So, never have we had on the show a Croatian and a Macedonian at the same time. We do have that tonight, because Zlatko Andonovski, the U.S. Women's National Team coach. They are in town to play in CONCACAF qualifying for the Tokyo Olympics this summer. So tomorrow night, Haiti's in town. The U.S. women will take them on. Then they will take on Panama. And then they will take on, in their final match, Costa Rica. Now, I'm going to say it. They're expected to roll over these teams. I mean, come on. You should roll over these teams. Number one team in the world. It's a new manager getting to know players. Players getting to know him. Although, Vlatko Andonovsky has been a coach in the NWSL and a very successful one. FC Kansas City won two titles. In fact, I called one of those games with Julie Foudy on ESPN, and I remember that they were not given a chance in Seattle. And Lauren Holiday, who was Lauren Cheney, was absolutely remarkable in that game, along with Becky Sauerbrunn. So they ended up winning. I believe that was 2014, if we go back in the time machine. But Vlatko Andonovsky and the U.S. women are camping out here in Houston. They're in a hotel preparing to get themselves qualified for the Summer Olympics in Tokyo. So it's great that they're here in Houston. It's great these games are in Houston. Again, this is a great reflection on our city and the fact that, you know, we are a great soccer city. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And we're hoping this year the Dynamo are going to tip the scale a bit more here with some of the great changes that are being made here to move the club forward in the area of relevancy. But that said, you know, there are some markets in MLS that truly, from a marketing media relevancy perspective, are not hitting it out of the park. And that's New York, New York City FC, the New York Red Bulls. Just seems to be lost up there. Chicago, who have done a rebrand. They're going to move back to Soldier Field. And reportedly, Chicago is potentially making a $15 million bid for Rodolfo Pizarro of Rayados in Monterrey. Pretty remarkable. 713-780-3776 is the number. And then my good friends from Gio Ciamba. Excellent band. These guys are so passionate. Gio and Coffee from Gio Ciamba will be in here tonight. We're going to play a little bit of their music. They're coming in with instruments. But I connect with these guys because they're Houston. They're H-Town. They're H-Town music scene. I love the H-Town music scene. I love the H-Town arts community. I try to support it as much as I can. One way I can support it is by shining the light on some people on the show. So they're coming in. They're big soccer fans. They're big Dynamo fans. They played at Dynamo events and games prior to it. But the thing that struck me is just the passion they have for their music. And we all know if you have passion for something, your chances of succeeding are great. It's an infinite look. You look out. If you love what you're doing, the other stuff follows it. And you can have a lifetime of enjoyment. I mean, you're listening to one of the luckiest men in the world. And, of course, you know, I say that unabashedly. I've been given tremendous opportunity in the media after playing professional soccer in the 80s, which was not looking like it was here. There were no soccer stadiums built specifically for the sport, these multi-purpose stadiums. It was either a high school stadium or it was an empty NFL stadium. Greatest time of my life was coaching youth soccer and having an impact on young people. So anyway, you use a vehicle and then you begin to do things in pediatric cancer so that you feel like you have a greater purpose in life. So it's a pretty simple equation for me. 713-780-3776. Aaron, can we just plug right now a Game On for 90?
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90.
Game on.
All right, so Chicharito has not kicked the ball yet, but has already stirred up attention with comments about retirement that got taken way out of context in a conversation with his parents. He mentioned it's the beginning of retirement in the context of his European career being over. And of course, the very ultra-sensitive U.S. soccer community, oh my God, he's calling MLS a retirement league, and oh, we're in a state of panic, and yada, yada, yada. Okay, it was all taken out of context. Now, remember his move to Manchester United under Sir Alex Ferguson. Became a benchmark for Mexican players at the time. And if you remember, we hosted Manchester United in Houston against the MLS All-Stars at Energy Stadium. Remember how much of that crowd was filled with fans of Chicharito. Now, he is a star second only to David Beckham in MLS history, and he hasn't even kicked a ball. His commercial value will be realized. Just make sure you get your ticket now to the home opener for the Houston Dynamo against the Galaxy. The attendance will be about Chicharito and his drawing power. Now, some will say he should have stayed in Europe. Some will say it's a step down. Some will say he should have stayed longer in Germany. Some are going to say that because MLS is outside of the top three leagues in the world. Well, guess what? So is the rest of the world when it comes to professional soccer, including Liga MX. MLS and Liga MX are getting closer and closer as we move on. Hernandez again will be a commercial boom for LA. He'll be a great response to the instant success of LAFC and Carlos Vela. Now with Vela, Pulido, Chicharito, and MLS tapping into the demographics and popularity of Liga MX and the stars aforementioned, it's healthy. When will we see American players going the other direction down to Mexico in Liga MX? Now, Chicharito is a poacher, and his movement and mobility in his game will need delivery. It will need the support of a good wide game from the LA Galaxy. They've got players like Christian Pavone. They've got Katai now. He's going to get that support. But what I like now is that the bar set. He now has to do it on the field as well. He has to score goals, and the Galaxy have to win. So there's a bar set there. By the way, the bar was set by Zlatan Ibrahimovic when it comes to scoring goals. Now, we all know, and you have to admit this, whether you want to or not, MLS is not a cakewalk. We have seen many a great player come here, underestimate the league, and struggle. Lots of names. Gerard comes to mind. But lots of names. The bar has been set for Chicharito. The story will be Chicharito, certainly off the field commercially, but it will also be on the field. And that's Game On for 90. All right, 713-780-3776. Are you excited about the Chicharito signing? You tell me. When we come back, we're going to talk Major League Soccer. We're going to talk the Houston Dynamo. I want to get your thoughts. All you Dynamo supporters groups out there, I'm going to give you a shout-out. Texian Army, El Batallón, Surge. You guys got a great social media game. How about a live radio game? 713-780-3776. It's important that you get on the airwaves, take a platform, and talk your game, your team. 713-780-3776. Big show in store tonight. We'll come back. We'll begin to talk the Dynamo, new signings, a couple of tidbits, plus a little interaction I had with Matt Jordan today. Also, 713-780-3776. Soccer Matters presented by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Every day. Every single day. But you know, I had to, though. Like, so when I show up to the park to play basketball, you know, they had the little soccer post underneath the basketball hoop. Not they did. And so I show up there, and there's like 12 kids playing soccer. I'm not going to ride my mountain bike all the way home. I take a basketball, tuck it under my shirt, and I'm riding the bike. It's uncomfortable. I'm not going to ride all the way home and then ride back 2 hours later. So I said, let me just play with you. They said, do you know how to play? No, not really. Okay, you got long arms, long legs, just standing in the goal. Don't let any balls get by. That's what I did for like a good year and a half.
Kobe Bryant there talking about his youth soccer career in Italy, where his father, Joe Bryant, played basketball. Yeah, always stick the tall guy in goal. But truly a very, very sad time, not only with Kobe Bryant and his young daughter, but also all the others who perished in that helicopter accident. Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. By the way, Gio Ciamba, you guys don't know the Stranglers, do you? You ever heard of the Stranglers? No mercy. How about you, Aaron? Have you?
I've heard it once or twice.
Yeah? Been around a while, these guys. I don't even know if they're still playing, but that was a great song called No Mercy. 713-780-3776. So let's take the segment. We'll talk some Houston Dynamo here. And just another note on Chicharito. Apparently, his impact has been double in the same time frame as when Zlatan Ibrahimovic joined the LA Galaxy. That's no surprise. That's no surprise. All right. He hasn't kicked the ball, and there's all kinds of wonderful stuff going on commercially. All right. Dynamo have 27 players under contract on their 30-man roster. Transfer window closing on the 31st, as we all know, at the end of the month. So that specifically concerns Albert Elise and Mauro Manotas. Do we believe they are going to stay, go? Do you want them to stay or go? How are you feeling about the moves the Dynamo have made? Marco Maric has made it into town now. And, of course, Darwin Quintero. Not technically a DP, but he is the big attacking off-season signing. I've told you, get over it. That's your off-season signing. He is dangerous. He is mobile. And he's going to have to produce for the Dynamo. That's the big signing. The other part of the Quintero thing that I think people forget is that if Elise and Manotas goes, one or the other, it is, you know, another attacking player that is there to kind of pick up the slack if one of those guys are moved on. It's still a possibility. Do you think the Dynamo will move Elise or Manotas? 713-780-3776. More recent signings. They got Cody Cropper from the New England Revolution. 26-year-old goalkeeper. Played 4 years in New England. Appeared 36 times. That's about nine games a year. Solid goalkeeper. Was a youth international. So he's going to compete with Marco Maric. And then they picked up the center back. He's got long, curly hair. Kyle Adams from RGV. Played at San Diego State. He is from New Zealand. The good thing about him is he got 2,300-plus minutes last year down at RGV. Now, here's one. Remember Eric McEwen, how much excitement around his signing. He only played 184 minutes last year at RGV. Only 184. Draft choice Sam Junkwa got 1,500. So it's all a work in progress. Matt Jordan said today was a very busy day. We're happy to have Marco Maric in town. This was a response to a text. I appreciate the response. I said young academy players and RGV players are showing well in camp. Said Marcelo Palomino looking sharp. And so is Nico Lemoine, an academy and RGV player, having a strong start to camp. And the question is, how much contribution will you get out of these players over the course of an MLS season? So that's the little interaction we had with Matt Jordan today, and I'm sure we'll have him back on the show as well in the future. You look at the Dynamo schedule. Before we get to the schedule, here is Matt Jordan. Remember, the number eight was a position, a two-way midfielder, was a position we talked a lot about last year, even on our Dynamo TV broadcast, that Boniac Garcia-Vera, working very hard, very good from a defensive standpoint, but not enough goal threat, not enough danger from there to create space for others. To show opponents other possibilities and variations. So here's Matt Jordan addressing that search for an eight here in the offseason, which to this point I don't think has been fulfilled.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, with the acquisition of Darwin Quintero, you know, that was really important for us. You know, I think it was an important, we believe it was an important acquisition. You know, obviously, first and foremost, it makes sense on the field. But right after hiring Tab, you know, there was an opportunity to get Darwin. And the nice thing with Darwin is, you know, in a 4-3-3, he can play as one of those guys centrally. You know, also he can play on the left or the right. And, you know, also I'd say Memo. You know, we see Memo and Tab sees Memo having that ability to be a box-to-box number eight. But I also think that, you know, getting back to your question, Marcelo has those qualities. I think the biggest thing you see with young players is they're transitioning into the pro game is in transition. Not to use that same word a couple of times, but, you know, transition in particular from offense to defense. You know, and that's the biggest thing that we're really impressing a lot with Paul Holliker and our academy staff is working a lot in transition. And so I think, you know, that'll be a key factor for Marcelo to continue to develop when he's playing centrally. But he has the quality to contribute and make late runs. And so we're excited about him.
All right. So question was really about signing another number eight. So do you think Memo Rodriguez is a box-to-box midfielder in a number eight role that would sit next to Matias Vera? For me, not so much. But here's the thing. With a midfield three of Quintero, Memo, and Vera, is that good enough in MLS? And I'm more talking about without the ball. We all know Memo's a wonderful technical player. His best moments have come off the bench in the latter stages of matches where he's come in and just, you know, on occasion really taken advantage of fatiguing defenders. So I think that's a player that still needs to be identified and found. But I think it also leads to a lot of intrigue. If it's a 4-3-3 under Tab Ramos, which we expect, that's the setup Tab has liked. He likes a pressing game. You know, and you have Darwin Quintero and Albert Elise on the field. Can you get these two guys to buy in when the ball's lost? Do you try to do that at this stage of their careers? Because, you know, they both don't necessarily have the reputation of doing the diligent work when the ball's turned over. And that may have been the problem at Minnesota United for Darwin Quintero, for all we know, because he fell out of favor there. But we know how dangerous that guy is in attack, and he's exciting. And he did it in Mexico with Santos. He did it with Club America. He's won titles. So for those of you who, you know, are wanting Chicharito, I mean, come on. The Dynamo have made it clear to you. You're not getting a Chicharito. Okay? It's pretty clear. But you are getting a Darwin Quintero, and the man can play the game. So the pressure's on. 713-780-3776. Dynamo fans, your opportunity now to take a platform here. Do you like where the team is going into the season? Certainly, we like the hiring of Tab Ramos. I don't think there's any question. If there was ever a guy who worked and checked the boxes getting to where he is, that's the thing I respect about Tab. You know, many a former national team player thought they were going to get handed a head coaching job at MLS. Yeah, I mean, you go to Brad Frieda, who I love a lot and certainly has incredible knowledge, experience. Maybe he rushed into it, into New England. Maybe he needed to do more work as an assistant coach in MLS. And it's calculated. Ego gets involved. People think they're ready for it right away. They get in there. They find out they're not. Brad Frieda realizes this is not the Premier League. It's very different. Maybe it's different in how you motivate players, you know. But I love the guys who do the work. Tab Ramos is one of those guys. Peter Vermees, done the work. 713-780-3776. Let's get some calls in here. And let's begin to talk about the Dynamo roster. 27 out of 30 players are signed. Transfer window closing soon. Latest additions, Cody Cropper, a goalkeeper, Kyle Adams, and Marko Marić, the Croatian, is in town. We have an interview with him coming up on the show tonight. It's a wonderful interview. 713-780-3776. And let's go to the phone line and talk to Colin. Colin, what do you have tonight?
Hey there, Glenn.
How are you, Colin? What's up?
So, I was just wondering, you know, the signing of Cody Cropper went pretty under the radar, I'd say. Not a lot of people knew about it. Not a lot of people were talking about it until it actually was announced. So do you think we'll have any more trades like that, any more acquisitions just within MLS before the season gets started?
Well, that's certainly possible. And to your point, yeah, that one caught me by surprise, and I think a lot of people by surprise. That's a good call on your part. But sure. I mean, there's probably wheeling and dealing going on right now. I would not put it past Elise or Minotas potentially being transferred, although I think Albert Elise's value may have gone down a little bit. We know how he breaks, yeah. He breaks out of the gates. But look, these are two young guys that are ambitious and want their shot at playing in Europe. There's nothing wrong with that. If they don't go to Europe, can they remain motivated and play in Major League Soccer? But, you know, I think the big thing we've learned from the Dynamo the last 2 years, we've had individuals downward spiral after great starts. And I warned everybody last year on this show, I said, look, it is a great start for the Dynamo, but it is a favorable schedule. They have 7 days, you know, it's one game a week. It suits older players. The rubber is going to hit the road come June and July when it gets different climate-wise, differing things are going on, the matches are coming thicker and heavy. I mean, it was predictable. So, I mean, the Dynamo have to get over that as well. They're going to have to win on the road as well this year. But back to your point, we started off initially with roster adds. I definitely think there could be another thing or two that goes on here before the season starts. And, of course, there's always the ability to make moves within the league.
Wouldn't mind that, actually. And honestly, we saw last year with the reports, you know, Albert Elise could have gone to Scotland, I mean, for $8 million. And now we see, like, his values, I'm not sure, like, probably around $4 million. That's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow to see that.
And don't forget, 25% of that goes back to Monterrey in Mexico.
Wow, I was not aware of that. It seems like we'd be losing more by selling him this late on than gaining, in my opinion.
Now, listen, it's tricky business, though, because, you know, you also have to deal with the mentality of the player as well, right?
Of course.
You don't want to lose the player. Players need to be professional. He is under a good contract. He's making tremendous money.
And he leaves for free next year if we don't get to it. So there's that to think about.
Yep. And, you know, this is the fun part of kind of playing GM and talking about rosters. But look, it's a significant year for the Dynamo. It's a significant year for the Dash because in the last 12 seasons, there's been one playoff appearance. It's tough to engage fans. I mean, there's a lot of areas that have to click and come together in order to turn this thing around. I think there's some wonderful strides being made. I'm very excited about the season starting, and I think a lot of fans are as well.
I went to the Fan Fest, and I was very pleased to see the way that Tab was coaching. He seemed very technical. He seemed like he was in there to make a difference, and I am very excited. A good coach can make a bad team good, and I think what Matt Jordan said about Tab being a DP signing, I can totally stand behind that, and I can agree with that. I'm all right with that being like seen as a big signing because it is.
Listen, and like I said before, he's checked all the boxes. He's going to be an inspirational leader. He's going to be excellent for the media, and he is a very technical coach. These are the types of coaches that deserve an opportunity in the league. Not just a guy who had an outstanding career, but a guy that has worked at his coaching craft. And the other thing that comes with him is the connection to a lot of youth players and contacts. Colin, thank you very much. Going to keep the phone calls rolling. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis, you're up next. You're up, Dennis. Fire away.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you, Dennis?
Good, good, good. This is Memo's coach. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah, fire away. How are you, Dennis?
Good, man. I was just reaching out to you because I know there's a lot of people that are saying that they're upset that we haven't bought a designated player, that we haven't bought a midfielder, this, that. But what a lot of people don't know is I think in the past couple of years, we really haven't had a real system for our team to play out of, you know? Like, now I think with Tab, he's actually going to implement a system, which that's half the battle right there. The players are secondary when it comes to the system. If you have the players that believe in the system and fulfill all the job descriptions of each player individually, the system will work well.
No, I think that's a wonderful point you're bringing up. I think he's, as you know, very defined in the way he wants to play the game. I think the Dynamo system at times under Wilmer Cabrera was you know, kind of a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1 based on wingers. That kind of went out the window last year when Kyoto didn't deliver. And, you know, at times it was just a little bit of chaos, really.
A lot of chaos.
But let's also, you know, I think we also have to be fair, Dennis, and say there were some players that didn't live up to it. And there were some signings that were just not good enough. Come on. I mean, I don't want to beat around the bush here. There were players that just weren't good enough, okay? And that's not being disrespectful.
Yeah, well, I know that Wilmer at RGB, he played a certain style. He went 15 games without losing a game. They tied and won 15 straight.
Yeah, but you know what, Dennis? I'd rather Wilmer lose 16 straight and move players through to the first team. I know people in the Rio Grande Valley aren't going to like that. But for me, the second team is a function and a stepping stone to the first team.
Yeah.
So,
but let me tell you the reason why he won that, because he had a system. When he came to Houston and he got Ellis and Kyoto, he completely changed his format, his system. Everything was completely different. Because I followed him because of Memo, you know. But so I pretty much saw almost every game they played. And when he came here, and I would ask, you know, certain questions to Memo, I'd be like, why is it that y'all are not playing in this formation? Or why isn't it that y'all are not working together as a block like he used to? And he's like, well, he wants to play a little more direct because of the two players we have up top.
And yeah, there wasn't a plan B after going to your wide guys in Kyoto and Elise. I don't think there's any question. I think you're bringing up a great point there. And look, Mauro Manotas' production went down last year with the loss of the loss of Kyoto for whatever the reason. So, thank you for that phone call, Dennis. Good thought on the system. A lot of times, a group of players with a system and a coach, things can be uplifted. But you know, you still have to have the players that fit the system. Let's go to Tony. Tony, what is on your mind tonight, Tony? Tony. You're on the air.
Hey, I was hearing the caller before.
Yes.
And he was talking about how the system, how the players need to go based on the system. I think, like you were saying, it's just the players. You know, some of the players that I saw don't know how to come out touching with the ball, you know, play simple, couldn't keep more than 2-3 passes, you know. And if you have the ball, you have possession, and, you know, I think that's what the Dynamo lacks. You know, people with technique, people with mentality to win, not be scared to play in different places or, you know, play players with big names.
Yeah, look, they've addressed their back line, which has had problems. So they brought in Valentin as an outside back. They brought in a center back, Victor Cabrera. They just signed another center back from RGV. They've obviously changed their thinking in the goalkeeping position. They've got a goalkeeper in Marich now that is a guy that can play with his feet, that will come off his line and be a covering player behind a back four. He's a bit of an intimidator as well from what I see so far. We're going to interview him later on the show. They've addressed the attacking side of the game with Darwin Quintero. That's all interesting in the context of could they move an Elise or would they move potentially a Manotas here before the transfer window. So, you know, they've made a couple of changes. The big one that I think is missing, again, is a two-way midfielder that is a rounded midfielder that provides threat out of midfield. And I'm not talking about the guy playing behind strikers, which is potentially Quintero. I'm talking about the guys that were in the Vera and Boniak role. You got to get some goals out of those guys. You got to have a threat. One or two of those guys has to be able to run at defenses with the ball and have some danger from long range as well. I mean, That only, at the end of the day, helps out your front four when it comes to creating space and pulling defenders away from center forwards, you know?
Sure. And a quick question. Why don't the Dynamo focus or invest in their homegrown players?
Well, I think that's the move now. First of all, you have to get ones that come through that are good enough. In the past, that has been a struggle. So I think there's a real focus now with Paul Holliker on the academy side. Tab Ramos has been with the under-20s. He's got a very heavy youth background. He's not going to be afraid to give people opportunity in games. I didn't see that really from Wilmer Cabrera too much, who was touted as a real youth developer. But, you know, part of being a youth developer is having the confidence and the guts to give people opportunity. So let's see if I think Tab is going to give some of these younger players hope and possibility. Certainly he has already with his arrival here, but I think he's going to give some of them opportunity. I'm keeping an eye on Marcelo Palomino as one. Nico Lemoine is another one that everybody's talking about. So let's see. But I hate to say it. It's still going to take years turning over here before you reap real benefits. And, you know, I don't know what the future of the USL team is. I would love to see it here in Houston at the Houston Sports Park, but I'm going to be fair and say I'm not spending the money. But I think organically, when you have the reserve team there looking at the first team on another field, this is motivation. I think when you're 6 hours away or 5 hours away in the Rio Grande Valley, they as an organization partnering with the Dynamo, they want it to be treated like a pro team there, and they want to draw people and they want to make money. The Dynamo want to use it as a team that, you know, is a stepping stone to the first team. And I think the day that we see three local kids from Houston run out of the tunnel, and I mean local that have been brought through from a young age all the way through the program, that is a possibility. I believe that is going to happen. It's just too bad that hasn't happened earlier, because it could have. It certainly could have.
Yes, sir.
But there's no sense in looking back now. Let's look forward, be positive. We got a coach that is very conducive, relates well, is a youth developer, and understands young players. And is a very technical player, having played against them in the late 80s. Tab Ramos was a very technical player, and he appreciates that in a soccer player. So he's going to give people an opportunity, Tony.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll take a break here. Michael Carroll here, one of the great producers and workers here. You know, Aaron, he is a huge Imagine Dragons fan. So I'm playing this in his honor tonight because he is a worker. He gets things done. Is he technically your boss?
Or is I mean, everybody's my boss.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I'm your boss right now, right? Would you call me boss right now, please?
If you want to, yeah, boss.
All right, let's go to break, brother.
Lies, but now I tell a single truth. There's you in everything I do.
Well, hello!
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're listening to La Futura by Gio Ciamba, a local Houston band. These guys are H-Town, man, and I'm telling you, they're passionate beyond belief, and I'm glad I've crossed paths with them, but they're also big soccer fans. Before we get to them, just a reminder here, Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 TVs, big screen, Houston Liverpool Supporters Group. That's the place you go, and they're having good times out there because it's 40 straight in the Premier League for Liverpool, trying to break the record of 49 straight by Arsenal. By the way, all those Dynamo callers, thank you very much. We got Marko Maric coming up later in the show and U.S. Women's National Team coach Vlatko Andonovski. But right now, we go to Gio Ciamba. It's Gio and Coffee. Guys, great to have you guys in the studio, man. I'm pumped.
Thank you.
All right, let's start. The first thing I want to start is just your upbringing and where you got connected to music. Because the one thing I noticed about you guys that struck right away to me was how passionate you guys are about it. So let's start with you, Gio.
Oh, yeah, thank you. We've always been doing this since we were kids in different ways, really. Me from playing in Mexico with pots and pans for my first actual experience.
Kind of like street soccer.
Exactly. That was exactly what we did. We played soccer and then we pretended to play instruments right after. Me and my friends were like, okay, let's go, let's play soccer. And after that, let's go jam. And I would get the pots and pans and the buckets and all that. And then, my friend had a little acoustic guitar he'd bring out. And we just, we didn't know anything, but just to get that energy out. And that was where the actual, passion came for me, listening to my uncles, listen to a lot of AC/DC and Metallica and all this awesome rock stuff. And then also,
you guys are all over the place with your likes too.
Yeah.
How about you, Coffee? Where'd it come from? Where was that moment? Because there is that fire starter moment for all of us.
Well, the funny thing is that
that's a tough one to top, by the way.
Well, believe it or not, I started the same way, just playing on pots and pans. And my cousins will tell you, how did he start? Oh, just banging on those things. And it was a lot of fun. It was just natural to me. And so I guess the passion just grew and grew and grew. As soon as I felt like I wanted to do something in music, I took advantage of it. It was awesome.
We're talking to Gio Ciamba, one of H-Town's finest when it comes to music. So describe your sound, Gio.
Well, we like to call it Chicano Fusion because we're both Latin American descent, and we're both born here in the U.S. in Houston, Texas. So Houston is a melting pot, and since we've always been around that, we just feel that we embody that fusion sound, So that's why we call it Chicano Fusion, because it's what we grew up on, but at the same time, what we're inspired by each and every day and new things that we learn all the time, we want to incorporate into our music, Like a lot of the new sounds that are coming out in electronic music or, hip-hop or cumbia and all these different forms of music all over the world, we're inspired by that, and we take a little bit of that and throw it into our music.
It's super cool. You guys are really, really creative. I listen to your music, I sometimes hear a little reggae in there.
Exactly, yes.
Something different, and I'm not schooled in music like you guys. I would challenge you to say I'm as good a collector as you are of music, but I can't play any instruments.
I think that's just as important.
That was a joke, actually, because you guys probably got more music than me. But
No.
I love every genre.
I'm sure you have some really good
I got some vinyl. We're going to have to check it out sometime. Coffee, I mean, can you add to that what Gio just said about your sound and Gio Ciamba's sound?
Yeah, I think, it's eclectic. It's a fusion of so many things. I think it's what we feel embodies a Houston sound, because it's just it's just so many different styles put together. We're influenced by so many different things growing up. In Houston, you have
foods.
Mm-hmm. That's the crazy thing. You have so much access to everything, culturally. Houston is a dynamic city, and I feel like that our music embodies that.
You love to perform, guys. I look at you, and you love to perform. Yeah. And you know what? The other thing is, you look like you're having fun. You love what you do. So you wake up every morning. What's the first thing you think of, Gio?
Music. I'm thinking about what am I going to record next. I'm thinking about what I'm going to record next, what I'm going to write next, what we're going to do next. Sometimes we're thinking about a music video. Sometimes we're thinking about a mix and an actual song that we're working on. Sometimes we're thinking about a release that just came out that we're really excited about. And it's just an ongoing thing that really is just the main cloud of all that is just music. What's next? That's what I'm thinking. What's next?
In the studio, we're talking to Gio Ciamba. We're going to play some of their music going to break. Don't forget that, Aaron, when we do go to break. We got Gio and Coffee in here from Gio Ciamba. They are fusion. They are just eclectic was the best word I heard you say, Coffee. Do you guys wake up at night sometimes and have an idea, write it down? I do that, and then I'm like, man, I can't wait till the morning comes because I got an idea for my show or something like that.
Yes, that happens all the time.
Does that happen?
And you have to, because you'll forget it. We'll forget it, But ideas come in so many different random times, you know, and it's important to just collect them as they come. Otherwise, you can't take advantage of the fire that it could be, you know. Mm-hmm. So do it. By all means, get up, write that fire down, you know. So, yeah, for sure.
All right. So writing a song, mm-hmm. how does it begin? Can you give us a Cliff Notes version of the process? Because I'm always sitting here and I'm looking at, you know, all the people who get credits for these amazing songs. How does it happen?
I think sometimes in studios with a lot of people, some people contribute one thing or another. But whenever it comes to a duo like us, sometimes I'll start an idea at home or, you know, or maybe just on the spot. I'll just start it off with something and then Coffee adds to it. Hey, what about this? You know, so the way that has worked with us really is by just sitting down and looking at an idea and being like, okay, what can we add to this and work from there? Because if in that way that we actually have like a set path of like one focused goal, you know, it's not really like scattered all over the place. Yeah. And sometimes ideas are like that where you're just like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do that. But it's better to just sit down and hammer it out. And I think that's what really works for a lot of other musicians and even, you know, some of the greats that I've heard, you know, and documentaries and stuff. I love watching documentaries and mm-hmm. hearing about all that. And they just really sometimes just sit down and hammer it out, you know. I was watching the Eagles documentary a while back and they were talking about, you know, I think it was Jackson Browne was in his basement just playing the same piano part over and over and over and over. And they're like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm getting it down. And he finally got it down and it was an amazing song. And they're all congratulating him. But it just takes that time really to just sit there and do it. And sometimes you have to let it go and come back to it. And that's okay. You know, it's an ongoing process.
Unfinished business.
All right, exactly.
We're going to take a break. Guys, can you sit in another segment here?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. So we're here with Gio Ciamba. We're going to take you to break with some of their music. Again, it is a really cool style. They play around Houston a lot, but they're on the road a lot, too. So we'll ask them where they're going to be playing in the future. I'm going to come back with a funny story about my niece's wedding. She's married to Derek Jeter, but Boys to Men were playing at this wedding. And all of a sudden pulled out a song that nobody expected. Take a break. It's brought to you by John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. We're coming back with more Gio Ciamba. All day and all
night, Ciamba. All day. My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.